life has its problems, but we've got solutions.
Hi, I'm Gary. I'm a life hack expert. I'm going to show you how to make a bowl out of popcorn here. Take a knife, a beer, here, and you got a bowl. You don't need a bowl.
That's lame. Let me show you a hands-free approach. First, you need a hoodie. Actually, you need to turn it around. And then you just pour it right in the hood. Boom, no hands.
Life has its problems, but we've got solutions.
Now, if you go home today, you can't say you didn't learn anything, all right? You've learned. We are doing a series on the book of Proverbs, and the book of Proverbs is a practical book. It's a life hacks kind of book. It's a book about how do you live life, and it talks about so many different, really specific, really practical areas of life. Everything from how we handle our finances to how we do work to how relationships happen. I mean, all of that is touched on in the book of Proverbs. And so we're doing some life hacks for the next several weeks. And don't worry, we have more of these videos. So it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. We're gonna open the scripture. And so would you pray with me as we do that? God, you've given us your word. And it's your voice. It's your declaration. It's your wisdom. And you've given it as a gift to us. God, you know everything going on in our lives. And one of the ways you speak into it is through your scripture. And so today, as we open your word together, speak to us, speak to me. And God, may we be people that, that actually do the things that your scripture calls us to do. Even the difficult things. Help us to be people of your word. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So the book of Proverbs is written with all these little bits of wisdom. And it's written, it's wisdom from Solomon, and we'll read a little bit about that in a second. And he's writing it like to his son. And somebody was asking me after the first service, was that a specific son? We don't know. Maybe multiple sons. It was sort of collected wisdom, really, over time. And in some ways, he's writing it knowing that his audience was all of Israel. And he probably didn't imagine, but God knew that it was all of us. And so he writes this like a letter to his son. But it's not just words from Solomon. This is God's wisdom. This is God's truth. And in a way, it's a letter from God the Father to each one of you. And it's kind of putting in all the wisdom. Now, I've had a couple kids head off to college. I had one head off to college a couple years ago. I've got one that's just getting ready to go. And you have this panic moment when you're getting ready to send a kid off to college. Like, oh no, did I get all the stuff in them that they need to know? And the answer is probably no, you know? And you, so your last minute you're trying to, you know, tell them things and give them little words of wisdom and message them and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Fill them full of any wisdom you can possibly do. And I worked really hard in my oldest going off. I was like, man, he is not ready. And so I just crammed it all in there, you know? I was like, here's the wisdom of a dad, you know, to take with you. And I've been wondering if he's going to be okay. And just two nights ago, he called me and in kind of hushed tones and a low voice, Dad, how do you know when an egg's going bad? How do you know when an egg's... I said, what are you doing, man? He was like, well, I'm trying to do date night, but I only have $2 left in my account. So I have to make it, the dinner. And I'm going through the dorm fridges trying to see, and I found some eggs. I was like, brother, I got a lot of wisdom that you need right now. And it's got to do with a lot of things, not just eggs. You know, I'm not the guy telling you, but I can talk to you about what's in your account right now, you know. And I don't know how this date's going to go, but I'll just be praying for this girl, you know. And I go, oh, I failed. You know, I did not get the wisdom into that kid. That's okay. I got another one that's getting ready to go. So I got another shot at this. And she just decided she's going to go to this little Christian school in Michigan. And so I have been cramming now to teach her all the things that poor little Southern girls just don't know about, you know, and like how to wear winter boots. She has no idea. And, you know, don't lick a flagpole when it's cold outside, you know, like things that you need to know, you know. And so I'm trying to get all that to her and write, you know, a letter to her. And in a way, Solomon's doing that for his son. But you can see that in Proverbs. It's actually this God who created the universe and everything in it, right? This amazing, unbelievable God, even unfathomable God, who knows you and cares about you. And not just the theology that you have, or you know what you think about God, but he cares about what's actually going on in your life, like the practical stuff. And that God was willing to write wisdom down for you about things like how to handle your money and what it looks like to do work and do a job well done. About things like the relationships that you have and how do you interact with those? What does it look like to be married and live for God and do that in a marriage? How do you interact between a son and a father, a mother and daughter? All these things that we deal with every day. How do we make good decisions? God wanted you to hear his wisdom on this. And that's actually what we have in Proverbs. It's wisdom. This is God's wisdom for us. I want to read to you. We're going to look at just the first chapter today. Now, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to encourage you. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs. And so I want to encourage you in the month of May. So you got a couple days till you have to start. But the month of May, read one chapter of Proverbs every day. It's a short little chunk. This will be a great rhythm for your life. In fact, I know some people that do that, and they just kind of put that as part of their daily routine and daily devotion, and they just do it over and over. And so every year, they read through Proverbs 12 times. What a great habit. You want to actually kind of get God's word in your heart and know those words? Do that, right? Just read Proverbs again and again throughout the year. So I want you to do that. Today, we're going to look at chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We're talking about wisdom. And for the next several weeks, we'll just look at some of the wisdom that God gives us in the book of Proverbs. I want to give you just a little bit of an overview of what happens in the book. So as you read it, you can come to it with a little bit of understanding. The book actually, you know, we think of like these little quips, these little, you know, one or two lines that just give a little nugget of wisdom, sometimes with not really a lot of context at all, just a line or two. Those are the technical proverbs. Those actually start really in about chapter 10. And chapters 1 through 9, we're given some kind of general wisdom, sort of a series of speeches. And we meet four characters in there. The four characters that we meet are the father, the wise father, and his counterpart, the fool. right? And so you'll hear from both of those in these first few chapters. And then you hear from wisdom personified, and it's Lady Wisdom, and she's personified in this. This is the wisdom of God, and wisdom is a female, is a lady. And so you hear from Lady Wisdom, and you'll also hear from that counterpart, Lady Folly. So you have these speeches that work their way through the first nine chapters, and then chapters 10 and on, you get these bits of truth and wisdom. And I want you to see what's really happening here, because you got to kind of understand wisdom in that ancient world, what that looked like and what they meant by wisdom. Now, you see this really clearly actually in chapter 8. And so we're not going to read that today, but I just want to tell you a little bit about what's going on. In chapter 8, Lady Wisdom is actually speaking. And she's talking about herself. It's personified wisdom. And she's saying, when God created the world, I was there. And this is a really powerful thing, because she makes this one statement. She says, you know, rulers of our day, are the kings of today, they rule by decrees. So they issue decrees. Now, the word for decree that they use in the Hebrew is the same word as to carve. There's a reason for that. In the ancient world, when a king issued a decree, they would carve that decree into stone, right? So it could be on display for all people. And we actually have ancient examples of that from the ancient world, where decrees were carved onto stone, on display for the people around to see. And then we know that story from the Old Testament of God carving his Ten Commandments into stone tablets, right? And so these are the decrees or issues. So wisdom says, kings, they rule by decree. And then she says, but I was with God. When God, and then she goes into the creation story, when he established the world. And in this story, begins to talk about how the world, was covered with water, but carved out the land and carved the boundary for the water, all using this same language. Now, what's she saying? What is wisdom saying there? Wisdom was with God from the beginning, and in the very foundation of the world, woven into the very fabric, into the very blueprint of the world, is God's wisdom. And so the understanding of wisdom is to say we're gonna see God's very character, which is woven into the world all around us, that God put his wisdom into the world from the very beginning. And so if you look carefully at the world, you'll start to see the blueprint, the fingerprint of God in the world. That means if we look at relationships and we see where relationships are done well, well, in that place, we're seeing the actual fingerprint of God, because his wisdom is woven right into the midst of that. And we look at the beauty of the world around us, the natural world around us. We see that beauty. We see God's wisdom in the design and order of that world. As wisdom speaks in chapter 8, wisdom talks about the ordering of the world. And in the world's order, it speaks of God's wisdom. So those who study science and those who study math, they see the wisdom of the world. They see this wisdom and beauty in the order. And when they're looking at that, they're looking at the very fingerprint of God. God carved his decrees into every part of our world, into every part. I went to a college in Chicago, and there was a professor there who used to always say, all truth is God's truth. All truth is God's truth. So he would say, whatever you're studying, study it deeply. Study it passionately. Be invested in it fully. Take it to its full end. And don't be afraid to study the world, because when you find truth, you're finding God's fingerprint. You're finding God's truth. I had to take a science class in order to pass college. Science and math weren't really my things in college, you know. I was studying pastoring kind of stuff, and I didn't know you had to do science and math for that. So, but they said you had to take a science class to get through college, and so I took Rocks for Jocks. You know, I don't know if anybody ever. Geology, you know, right? You got it, right? That, at my school, that was Rocks for Jocks. And I got into the, you know, I was like, I can pass this one, surely. And I got in there, and there was a professor in this geology class, man. I mean, he's talking about rocks, literally talking about rocks. But this little college, a Christian college, and professors had this deep and passionate faith, but they were serious about their scholarly work. He was a serious academic. He was a scientist, well-published, and serious about his work. And that guy would get so excited about rocks. He's like tearing up doing lectures about rocks. And I was like, what is good? And I started listening to this guy, and he's talking about the, you know, the strata, when you look at the breakaway of the earth, and you can see the thing. And he's like, you can see the handiwork of God in the very rocks under the earth that we walk on. And to him, it was so beautiful because he studied it so carefully. And there, in the midst of that, he found God's wisdom. And so when we read about wisdom in the scripture, that's what we're talking about. Seeing God at work and God's principles at work lived out in the interactions of our life, in the systems of our world, and in even the physical nature of the world around us. So, study, dig in, look for wisdom. If you're a teacher, be incredibly great and passionate about teaching. As you know, I always kind of thought, you know, what we should do is if we're a good Christian, if you're a good enough Christian, you should think about, you know, being a missionary. That's probably the best you could be as a Christian. But you know, I've learned what it means to be the best Christian you can be. It means to take the field that God has put you in. Take the gifts that God has given you and pursue them to their godly end. Because there, see, you find wisdom. So if you're a teacher, be the most incredible teacher that there is. Because as you learn about teaching and the art and the beauty of teaching, you find wisdom there. And if you're a cook, be fantastic at being a cook. Be the best that there is. Dive deep, learn. Find out more and more and go further, because there you find the blueprint of God. If you're a lawyer, man, even law has this beautiful order to it. And learn about the order of that, because in the order of law well done, you'll find the wisdom of God. And if you deal with finance and business and money is your thing, did you know that money well handled, done with generosity and done responsibly, did you know that that is a beautiful ordered thing, ordered by God? And if you pursue that, pursue it well. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means to do it well, to lean in, because this is God's truth. And we want to be people that not only understand it, but also we want to be people that live it out. Now, there are a couple things that you need to know as we go through Proverbs. One is this. When you read these Proverbs, as you go through them, these are principles, not promises. Does that make sense? These are the principles that God put in the order of into the very fabric, the order of the world. If you do this, then this should be the outcome, right? If you plant it and you water it, it should grow. That's a principle. It's not a promise. We can read all through Scripture. We see that sometimes that thing just doesn't grow, right? Things just there are three books in Scripture that are considered wisdom literature. One is Proverbs, but then you have Ecclesiastes and Job. And those are to deal with when the principles don't work out. Ecclesiastes and Job, those are the places to go to kind of understand the relationship with God in that. But in Proverbs, it goes, this is the principle, not the promise. It's a principle. So here's one, right? In Proverbs 12:27, it says this: the lazy do not roast any game. Now let me just pause for a second. I want to tell you this, okay? If your feelings are easily hurt, Proverbs might not be your book. I'm just saying. You're gonna get called lazy. You're gonna get called, it's pretty straightforward. Okay, so the lazy do not roast any game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt. Doesn't that sound good? That's a good principle, right? If you're lazy, you're probably not going to get your food. But if you're diligent, there's going to be riches for you. Except, Augie and I had a couple days off on spring break, and our family went to a lake, and he and I, man, we got up early to go fishing. Early. I mean, it was spring break. We didn't do any sleeping in. All the rest of the family, all the girls, they just slept in. We got up before dawn every morning. We got out there. We went fishing. Not only did we go fishing, but we prepared for fishing. We practiced fishing. We watched YouTube videos about fishing. The problem is we just didn't catch any fish. All right, I'm just saying. We were diligent. We were not lazy. It just, now I'm not wise in fishing. Let's just say that. But we are diligent. We're not lazy. So this is a principle. In general, the principle works though, right? And you understand the principle because when you read that principle, you recognize it. And in that, you recognize that's the way God ordered the world. That if you're diligent about it, right, that things will be produced. And if you're lazy about it, it won't. So it makes sense. And you can see and hear the word of God in that. So in Proverbs, we see this wisdom of God coming to us in the sense of the principles of God, how God put the world in place. And if you do, if you live this way, you'll find the blessing of God. Now, there's another thing that you need to know as you read these Proverbs. It's not just about knowledge, not just about information, right? Information's good, but that's not all that there is of wisdom. I heard one pastor tell it this way, and I thought it was helpful. Information, good information, is that a tomato is actually a fruit. Did you know that? Is anybody else surprised with today? A tomato has seeds, so tomato is actually a fruit. That's information. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad, right? Does that make sense? Information, tomato is a fruit. Wisdom, don't put a tomato in fruit salad. You got this? Some of you have never made or eaten fruit salad. You're just looking at me like, I don't know. Trust me, just trust me. Wisdom isn't just the information, but it's actually taking that information and applying it to your life and understanding how to apply that to your life. I'm gonna go back and read that a little bit from our passage this morning. In verse 2 says it's for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. You see it? It's not just the information about it. It's not just knowing what's good or bad or what's right or wrong, but it's actually putting it into practice. It's instruction for how do you make that practical in your life. So as we read the wisdom of Proverbs, we're saying, God, how do I apply this? How do I live this out? Now, I want to go to that last verse that we read. That was verse 7. And in verse 7, it says this. This is that starting point. It says this, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Solomon wants to start us off on the right place. He says, if you want to go after wisdom, if you want to seek wisdom, it starts with the fear of the Lord. Now, that in some sense sounds great. It starts with pursuing God, because as we pursue God, we're going to start to see his handiwork. We're going to start to see his truth. We're going to start to see his principles all around us, in the world around us. And we're going to, as we pursue that, we will be able to live those out. That sounds great. But I get hung up with the idea of the fear of the Lord, right? Because as we read through all of Scripture and we talk through Scripture together, we recognize that, God is this gracious and loving God. God's this God that, pursues us and reaches out to us, and a God that actually sent his Son to come into this world for us, to have relationship with us, to die on a cross and be resurrected so that we might have the hope of resurrection, right? That's the God that, we know from Scripture. It doesn't seem like a God that is to be feared. So the question is, what does it mean by that? What's the perspective here? Well, you have to really understand what they're talking about with fear. It's not fear like, oh my goodness, I need to get away from God, that God is, you know, God is threatening or foreboding. But it's a fear in the sense of awe and respect and holiness. Like a true awe. That this is the God who created the whole world. He spoke the world into existence. The power of that, it's unfathomable. It's ununderstandable. I can't even grasp that concept. That God would actually speak to me. And imagine being in the presence of that God. We get this picture of it in one passage in the Old Testament where Moses is being called to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, right? And Moses is walking by a bush, and there's a bush that's on fire. It says it's burning, but it doesn't burn up. And a voice speaks to Moses out of the burning bush. Moses is, that's a fear of what in the world is this? God speaks to him and says, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. This is holy ground, the very presence of God. That's the idea of this this fear of God, that this is this holy, and having this sense of awe and a sense of reverence, that God is actually addressing you and speaking to you. There's another place in Scripture where it says you got to turn your back so that God could pass by, because looking at, just seeing him, your body can't withstand the glory of that. You just die. That sense of having this awe and reverence for God and for his principles. And that's the start of wisdom. One pastor named Tim Keller, he said, if you fear the Lord, you won't be afraid of anything else. And you won't be enslaved by anything else. If you fear the Lord in this way, if you say, I want to live by his principles. This is the God who created the world. I want to live by his principles. And if I have that kind of fear, if that's the starting place, then everything else seems okay. Everything else, I can make it through. And I won't be enslaved to anything else. I've heard someone else describe it this way. They say, the fact that I have this relationship with God, that God would speak to us, write scripture, that give that scripture to us, that we can talk to him in prayer. I have this fear that I would make any decision that I didn't without God's guidance, or without his perspective. That's the kind of fear that we're talking about. That I want to make every decision because I have this relationship with God. I fear of making any decision without his guidance, without his perspective. I want to know what God thinks of the situation in front of me and the world around me. And so as you read read Proverbs and pursue wisdom, you're actually pursuing God. Now, the second half of that last verse of verse 7 says this. So the first part, fear the Lord, beginning of knowledge. The second part says this. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now you're going like, yeah, that makes sense. Those fools, you know. Yeah, fools don't want wisdom. I love wisdom. I know you. That's what you're saying. The problem is, it's just that it's the problem is this. When I read scripture, I read the stuff I like to hear. You know what I mean? Like when I read scripture, often when I read it, I'm like, yeah, that's just like me. I see myself there. I agree with all these things. And when I do that, You know, I'm looking for a certain perspective. Like I read it and I kind of skip past the stuff that I don't like, or if it's something I don't like and it challenges me, I kind of try to look at that a little bit of a different way, you know. I sort of avoid that place in Scripture because I'm really good at reading Scripture in a way that it all just looks like me. But I've got news. If Scripture doesn't ever offend you, if it doesn't challenge you, well, you might be in the category the Proverbs calls, what is that? Fools that despise wisdom and instruction. Now, I'm talking to me because I just, you know, have you ever heard of confirmation bias? Confirmation bias is this. I'm saying this to my kids all the time. They roll their eyes just like you're doing right now. So this is okay. Confirmation bias is this, right? We think the way we make decisions is we think a long time about a decision and we come up with the very practical reason for making that decision, and it's a good decision, it's perfect. How we really make decisions is pretty quickly. Like other people like me make that decision, so that's what I do. That's kind of how we, and then we spend a lot of time convincing ourselves why that was a great decision. You heard that? Confirmation bias. We do that with Scripture too. Like we read it our way, and then we spend a whole lot of time looking back at it going, yeah, that makes sense, that's for me. Now confirmation bias works in some places, right? My daughter decided to go to college. When she was deciding, I said, hey, spend your time, make a critical decision, you know, be careful about the decision. But once you make that decision, you don't want to live in regret. So kick in with the confirmation bias right there. Just keep saying why it's the greatest school. You know, you that's good, that's good. That's not good for reading Scripture though, right? That's not good for reading Scripture. Scripture should actually sometimes cut you. Sometimes it should bite. Sometimes it should burn. Proverbs says that, as it's talking, even about the wise, right? It's saying, for those that are young, they need instruction. But then look, verse 5, let the wise listen and add to their learning. Like the book of Proverbs says, you should always be learning. You should always approach it in this way where we actually fall under Scripture, right? We don't come to Scripture just with our perspective, but we submit to Scripture. We say, Scripture, you get to, you know, speak to me. You can just say whatever you want, Scripture, to my life, and I got to be able to hear it. But I kind of have these defensive mechanisms built in, and I just want Scripture to say this one thing, so I spend a whole lot of time convincing myself how it said that. Sometimes we just need to listen to it. As you read through Proverbs, let it speak to you. Let it speak plainly. If it calls you lazy, go ahead and be offended. That's all right. But take it to heart. Right? This is God's wisdom. If Scripture calls you out and looks at a perspective that you have and says, oh, that's not God's perspective, have ears to hear that. I love the idea of loving wisdom, as long as it's easy. But our challenge as we read Proverbs, as we go through Scripture, is to actually hear it for what it's saying. Now, there's one more thing, and I don't have my glasses on, but it looks like that clock's in the red, so we'll go quick. It'll be all right. Here we go. Y'all smell that bacon out there? Gosh, okay. There's one more thing I want you to hear. It's this. There's a verse that comes after what we read. It's verse 8. He's kind of heading off into the book from his prologue. And he says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. You know, God is revealed to us in many different ways throughout Scripture, but one of the primary ways is as a father, and he's a good father. He's the kind of father that is encouraging and yet boundaried. He's the kind of father that both corrects and rejoices with you. He's the kind of father that is close and pays attention. Scripture gives us this father. And that father is speaking to us and speaks to us through the book of Proverbs. And I want you to hear that as a son and as a daughter. to hear these words from a father who loves you and cares for you. But I also got to thinking about our men and our women in this church, because you're fathers and mothers. And some of you are men that live this scripture out. I've seen you. I've watched you. Actually, this wisdom of God that is in a practical life, I've seen how you do it in your relationships with other people. I've seen your heart for people that are in trouble and in bad places, and I've seen the way that you operate. I've seen you the way you handle your finances and your generosity, and I've watched some of you men, how you live in your relationship with God is very serious, and how you take these principles that you live out, and you take them to work with you. I've seen it. We have men in this church all over this building that live out this Proverbs type of life. It's incredible. And your fathers. And I want to encourage you, I want to tell you, pass this to your sons and your daughters. You've got to pass this way of living on. It's important. Your sons and your daughters, they need to hear it. They need to hear it from you. They need to hear this fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and they need to see it alive in you, and they need to hear it from you, how to live in a wise way. Pass this to your sons and daughters, but not just your biological sons and daughters, right? See, because I've got a couple sons, and they need you too. Men in this church, my sons, they need you. They need to see the way that you live a practical life every day, not just show up on Sunday and worship once a week, but how you actually live this out and the way you conduct your business and the way that you interact with people and the way that you care. They need to see it and hear it. My sons need you to pass this down. And our women in the church, your mothers, and some of you have biological daughters and sons, and you need to give this wisdom to them as a gift. You need to give it to them and hand that to them. They need that, but not just your biological children. So I've got two daughters, and they need you. Our kids in this church, they need you. The women of this church, the mothers, they need you. Pass this wisdom to them. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to live lives of faith, not just on Sundays, but in every day of the week. Let me pray. God, would you guide us to be people of your word, even when it's a difficult word? God, I sometimes find myself in the category of a fool because I just want to see things my way and I'm not willing to hear your word. But today I pray, speak, challenge me. Would you challenge us? And then God, I pray for the men in this church. God, would you fill them with your wisdom? And would you give them the courage, the strength, the passion to actually pass that on to our daughters and our sons here? God, the women in this church, God, you've gifted them. You've blessed them. God, would you give them the gift of your wisdom, your word, to pass on to this church's daughters and sons? God, may we live your faith practically every day. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.